How do you like me now? Welcome to the podcast that always takes it there. I am your host, T, from the infamous tblog.com. And now I reside right here on the T Podcast to entertain all of you. Some say I have a way with words. Are you ready? You know how this goes. Some call me the Tom Brady of blogging, even the Conor McGregor of podcasting. Some even say that I am the white Tupac of screenwriting. Also, the king of the bean, that's me, aka Boston, that's the city. The man who is always, always, always on his grown man shit. Thank you for tuning in once again. Now let me do what I do here, and that is to entertain the shit out of all of you. Today is Thursday, June 20th, 2019. Welcome to the T Podcast. Today's podcast is all topical. I got a lot of shit that I want to fire off with you people. I'm going to get through it fast and furiously, T style, of course. I'm going to jump right in no particular order. I've been hearing from you. T, we love when you do the topical shit. We love your take on everything. You have an original, weird, crazy, bomb ass, funny, out the fuck out there take on almost everything. So I'm going to get right into it. This week, OJ Simpson joined Twitter. 25 years after the fucking murder, the two murders that we all know he fucking did, but he got off and ended up doing time for some other shit. The memorabilia when he put fucking kicked in the fucking door waving the 4-4 and people trying to sell his shit. He ended up doing time for another crime longer to make up for the murders. But OJ, 25 years later, finally joined Twitter. He goes on there and he tweets, "I have a lot of getting even to do." Now, we're not supposed to laugh at fucking murders and all that 25 years later, but I did follow fucking OJ. I think because OJ Simpson is so fucked up, I think this is a case study. A case study on celebrities that have the power and ability to do whatever the fuck they want. I remember following that OJ trial. I remember when he had the white Bronco chase. I remember that vividly. I was home on that night. I didn't go out. Young T, I just got my license. I was looking at shitbox cars. I had my Auto Trader fucking magazine open. I didn't want to go out with my cousin and my friends locally in Eastie, and I didn't want to go out to the city of Everett where I had friends over there. I was just in the zone. My parents were out. I had the apartment to myself. I was looking at the magazine. I was reading comic books. I had the pay-per-views on because we used to steal the shit out of cable. Always had a black box. Always knew a guy that knew a guy. And I remember Baywatch being big and David Hasselhoff's fucking German concert on the wall was supposed to be on pay-per-view. I was going to turn that shit on. Why? Because it was free for us. It was free 99. Clicking on the Spice Channel, the Playboy Channel. I think I was eating popcorn. I had my fat cat to my side, mittens. I was chilling. It was just a regular Saturday night in. I had those moments that I had to take to myself. I'm a lone wolf. I'm still a lone wolf. But even back then, at 16 years old, going on fucking 17, like I said, just got my license, about to get a car. That summer, I was finishing up my junior year in high school. And I was going into an international arts program. I've talked about this on podcast and on T-Blog. I had a scholarship to go to class all of July and August, 5 days a week. I had to leave Eastie at 7 in the morning, and I came back at 7 p.m. at night because I had to go to Chestnut Hill. And I was in these international arts program where I had to write. I was an editor of a newspaper. I was interacting with all these kids from all around the world. It was really good for somebody in East Boston that didn't know kids from other countries. I had a cute girl from Poland. I had friends from fucking Venezuela. I had a girl I knew from Argentina. There were kids from Puerto Rico. People from all over. There's some local kids too. I actually did get into a fight with one kid there, a bad fight on the train tracks that summer. But this is all before that. But as I was going into that international arts program, and then I was going to work at Dunkin' Donuts. My father got me a job Saturday and Sunday from 5 a.m. to 5 p.m. That was going to be my life. I knew that was coming. I was preparing myself for it mentally. I didn't want to go out. I didn't want to talk to anyone. I was chilling in the house. Had that all ready to go. Fight up. All of a sudden, I'm clicking through the channels. Again, there was no social media back then. There was no texting. There was nothing. You didn't know what the fuck was going on. All of a sudden, I see all the news following this white Bronco. And they put the graphic underneath. O.J. Simpson in a white Bronco in a high-speed chase in Los Angeles. Known possibly that he has a gun on him, a disguise, a bag, cash. A.C. Collins driving the fucking car. And he's in the back. O.J.'s threatening to kill himself. Look, that alone right there. When you're threatening to kill yourself when you're on the run, we should have known that motherfucker was guilty right then and there. But nope, we arrest him. We allow him to cover it up. He goes to fucking trial. And then he ends up getting off with murdering fucking Goldman and his ex-wife, Nicole. That was some fucked up shit. The trial of the century carried on to my senior year, senior year through that, my freshman year in college, I remember that jury saying he was innocent. And I remember popping into a dorm room right in the hall, walked to the closest one because the trial was coming down, the decision was coming down. That carried on. It was like the next year and a half, starting at that moment, the white Bronco chase. 25 years later, here the fuck we are. Unfucking real. And now OJ, where he went to jail or for prison for like 7 years, wherever it was, for that memorabilia thing, finally gets out. He's based in Florida. He goes to Twitter and he's fucking tweeting that he wants to get even with everyone. I think there's rumors right now he's going to address that he's Khloe Kardashian. I think it's Khloe, no, Kourtney, the big one. I think he's the big one's dad because of him hooking up with Kris Jenner, because Robert Kardashian's been dead for a long time. Rumor has it he got rid of the Louis Vuitton bag that time, so the guilt actually tore him up from the inside. But everybody's wondering what the fuck O.J. Simpson's going to tweet. And you know this day and age, the people we're living in, people are going to tweet him back talking shit because you're going to want O.J., as fucked up as that sounds, to threaten you on Twitter. Like, I got O.J. to say he was going to kill me. I know this is where we're going. I know I shouldn't be giggling because of the tragedy that he caused. But again, he's a case study. There is only one fucking O.J. And I think even to this day and age, until the day he dies, people are going to be enticed by this fucking sick son of a bitch. And now that he's on Twitter, I'm following him. I want to see what the fuck he tweets. It's going to be some fucked up shit. So I am here. I'm probably going to give you updates on OJ. I may go at him. We all know Dane Cook blocked me years ago because he hates me. We're going to fight in the streets one day. Spike Lee blocked me because he fucking hates me. He said some fucked up shit about my mother that time I went at him. I see Spike Lee, I'm going to drop him cold just like that. And I'll pay my lawyers to fucking bail me out for fucking up Spike Lee. I don't give a fuck. But I might go at OJ. I might retweet his shit. I don't know where I'm going to go with this. Just know that he's on Twitter now. You can follow him. You can follow me at T-Blog. You can follow me to follow OJ. See that exchange. I don't know what's going to happen. But OJ's on Twitter. It's going to make things very entertaining. Something else people are going on about. Tuesday's podcast, I talked about the Boston straight pride that people want to get. There are people right now complaining there's too much pride. There's too much gay pride for Pride Month. There are people saying that like CNN and everything is a rainbow. Everybody's putting this up that we're going over the top to compensate for it. There are memes out there saying every company right now is saying, hey, we're also gay like you. We're so gay. People are making jokes about how over the top pride is. And you know what? I'm laughing. I think it's fucking funny. It's obvious that a lot of companies who didn't do shit for pride for the longest time, now that we're in a culture of everybody's failings, they're definitely, definitely overcompensating. And it's extra rainbows everywhere and the flags everywhere. And I'm like, I don't give a fuck. I do find it funny that people are making fucking memes about it. And people also complaining. You go to CNN's Twitter or you go to the Instagram and they're like, aren't you going to cover anything else? People are dying in fucking Africa. And this is all you want to talk about? Enough of this. Can you stop it? This is disrespectful. I can't believe they painted these flags. I mean, these stairs with the rainbow flag. I can't believe they painted it freaking rainbow. People are actually getting really bent out of shape about this. It's like, you know, it's the same thing when the holidays, when people get mad about the holidays. People are too centric and you can't call a Christmas tree anymore. It's a Christmas tree. It's not a fucking holiday tree. If you don't recognize or celebrate Christmas, don't make me start calling it a fucking holiday tree. I grew up with fucking Christmas trees. That shit is a Christmas tree. Just like if somebody's out there and they're happy that we're finally celebrating Pride Month because they're gay, don't hate on that shit. Let them enjoy the fucking month. But why are you going at fucking CNN and these fucking news networks, blaming them for being over the top and all these memes about companies? Yeah, I do believe a lot of people are trying to overcompensate, but it's funny. It's entertaining. Be happy. Gay people want to be happy. We should be happy that they're happy and just laughing at all this shit and just run with it. So, yeah, everybody's overcompensating for pride, but who gives a fuck? Again, OJ joined Twitter. That should be fucking something that we should be fucking really worried about. All right, those are the two things I want to get into. Can continue it, just a whole fucking trend, right? Cuba Gooding Jr. Cuba Gooding was Trey in Boys in the Hood. I love Cuba Gooding Jr. I always thought he was a good actor. Besides Boys in the Hood, Jerry Maguire. Always be known for Show Me the Money. Show me the money, Jerry. Show me the money. And you got Tom Cruise yelling at. I always think he was a great actor. And his career just fell off. He started making that weird Cruise comedy movie. He did, tying into OJ. He did make a comeback last year when they did The People versus OJ. He played the juice. He played OJ. I think he did a good job. Now, again, with this whole Me Too movement and everything that's going on with that, supposedly I don't know if there's video of it, and I don't know the full story because I only follow this on Twitter, that Cuba Gooding groped not only one woman, but two women. And they pressed charges, and he turned himself into New York. I think it happened at a club or a hotel. And I don't know if Cuba's married or still married. And again, I don't know. I'm not saying who's right or wrong here. I do think that a lot of celebrities to get certain big heads over the power that they have. And I don't doubt it that a lot of them think they go touch people and do whatever the fuck they want. The kid that played Eazy-E in the NWA movie, I forget his name. I think it was like Jason Mitchell, something like that. Something happened to him last month where he just got dropped by all his representation. His agents dropped him, his manager. He got thrown off the Shy, that show, because he physically assaulted a woman, I guess, beat her, threw her down to the ground in a Boston hotel, no less, not too long ago, and that the footage got up. But Cuba Gooding supposedly groped, I don't know what way, what capacity, he had to turn himself in. And now Trey, the guy from fucking Jerry Maguire, is now maybe getting brought up on fucking charges. So this day and age with the Me Too and everybody, look, you should never fucking touch someone that doesn't want to be touched. Man, woman, child, doesn't fucking matter. I don't care if you're a celebrity or regular Joe Blow walking down the fucking street. You just don't do that. Have some fucking respect, have some class. Someone will let you know when they want you to fucking touch them. It'd be reciprocated. You could tell when it's okay. I think maybe because you have so much power or you have a certain fucking reputation of who you are that you think you can just go ahead and do whatever the fuck you want. So Cuba, if you did that, my man, you gotta face the fucking charges. You gotta, you know, it's time for you to, you turn yourself in. I guess you did the right thing. You lawyered up, and now we have to see what the fuck happened to good old fucking Trey, who isn't good anymore. Ricky is rolling around in his fucking grave, seeing what the fuck you turned into, Trey. Ricky died for this shit, you fuck. All right, locally, I gotta talk about this. It's a local thing, but I think you people can relate to inside Boston, outside of Boston, right? I don't know. I've been around the world. I've been over Europe. I think Europe has this figured out, the public transportation system. I've been on buses around the world. I've been on trains around the world. I think even Los Angeles, that one fucking line that they have, I think it's called the Red Line. I've been on that. I've been in New York's train system. They have so many fucking trains, 24 hours. Everybody seems to have their shit together or slightly better or improved upon what the fuck we have here in Boston. I think the MBTA, if my memory, again, I try to do this all off the fly. I won't take the shit. I try not to do research. Is the oldest public transportation system in the world, or at least the U.S., and it fucking shows. So the MBTA, again, I walk to the office. I have that luxury. I'm blessed in that way. Blessed, hashtag blessed, all the way up, that I can walk to and from the office. I have a car. I take it out when I need it on the weekends. I have it in a garage. I do okay for myself where I don't have to take the train. But I remember what that was like. Occasionally, I'll jump on the train if I get a doctor's appointment, if I get time to kill. And you know what? It always makes me fucking late. Since I was a kid going into fucking college, going into class every day from Eastie, riding it after graduation into my corporate America life, into my jobs, the MBTA train system specifically, not so much the buses that didn't really take them, always made me fucking late. Always a breakdown. The AC wouldn't work. It'd be overcrowded. Always fucking happening. And you know what? That was 20 fucking years ago. Even now, to this day, last week, two MBTA fucking trains derailed. Fell off the motherfucking tracks. One is still shut down. They can't even get the red line in that area open again. The other one fell off the fucking tracks, hurt a bunch of motherfucking people. And guess what? They are now going ahead and increasing the fucking fares. That's right. They're going up 6%. Only fucking city in the world, Boston. I love my fucking city, but this is a flaw with my city, and I'm able to call out my city when I feel like it, that you fuck up the transportation system but still increase rates and fares every fucking year. You know who works for the MBTA? I said this before. There are people I grew up with that didn't want to work, that are former fucking prisoners, hustlers. They always get a guy that knows a guy to get them into the MBTA. Got to get a job at Massport. Got to get a job for the city. Got to get a job for the MBTA. There are a lot of crooked, degenerate motherfuckers that work for the MBTA. And that doesn't stop with just the fare collectors or the train conductors or the bus drivers. It goes up to the front office. There are a lot of corrupted, crooked motherfuckers. And I'm no rat, so I don't name names, but I know all you motherfuckers are fucking crooked. And that goes all the way up to the fucking politicians. So here's my ask. The man that's trying to live a fair and legal life now, that's me. I say that the federal government comes in and investigates the state of Massachusetts. And I actually tweeted that. And it got several fucking retweets and favorites. Go look at it on fucking my T-Blog account on Twitter. That I said that somebody needs to investigate this on a higher level because there's something seriously wrong. We run a shit fucking piss poor system. We should not be increasing rates. People are getting hurt. It's a safety issue to and from work, and we're fucked. And not a lot of people have cars. And I know the fucking governor wanted to get these little bikes going. Not everybody's riding a little motherfucking bicycles, governor. I think you need to come in this and take a look at it. And the MBTA is a fucking problem, and it needs to be investigated. It is more corrupted than anything that happened with the big dig build with all the crooked contractors. Everybody gets a fucking cut. That's how that shit works. Look into the MBTA. I want to see some motherfuckers losing their jobs. I would love to see some motherfuckers getting arrested and then gut it from the inside out, put all new motherfuckers in there and rebuild the MBTA. Okay? Because that's a fucking problem. And you probably have another fucking better system. And I don't know whatever city you're from listening to this podcast. But if you're locally in Boston or in the state of Massachusetts, you all know what I'm talking about when you come to the T podcast and hear me going on about the MBTA. Because you feel that pain. You know exactly what I'm saying. And on a national level, I know you're comparing your public transportation system to us, and you got it good. Trust me. I don't care if you're delayed sometimes or you're 3 minutes behind schedule. Your trains probably run 24 hours a day. Motherfuckers aren't falling off the fucking train, off the tracks. They aren't dying. Your fares aren't going up and being reciprocated. If your fares go up, there's a reason for it. You probably get better trains. You get newer trains. You get air conditioned. We don't get that shit. We get these newer fucking cars and stuff, and they still fucking suck. The trains are always late. They put these clocks in now. Now you're going to know what time your train is coming. Yeah, now I know my train's even fucking later than usual. Those clocks did nothing. You can't speed up the fucking service. MBTA, governor of fucking Massachusetts, fucking mayor of Boston, federal government, Donald motherfucking Trump, you useless piece of shit. Come look at the MBTA. Come fix this shit. Because it is a shit stain. Those are my words on the tweet. It's a shit stain on my fucking state, on my fucking city. And it is my state and it is my city because I've been here for almost 42 years. Born and fucking raised. I put on for this city. I put on for this state. I gave a lot of money to the city, a lot of money to the state. I carry this fucking place on my back like a lot of hardworking Bostonians and a lot of people from Massachusetts. We want a good public transportation system. Not for somebody like me who doesn't use it all the time, but I have my right to it just like everyone else. Fix the motherfucking MBTA. You like that? That was vintage fucking tea right there, as my buddies would say. Classic tea. When I get hot and I get worked up. You haven't heard that guy in a while. I'm kind of in a fucking mood this weekend. I got some shit going on in my personal life. And again, I'm coming off the cup loss and OT. So I'm a little fired up here. You know? A little fired up. A little bit. I'm deflecting. All right, another topic I'm getting into. There is a concept out there that was leaked that they want to put Harriet Tubman, who helped free the slaves with the Underground Railroad system. They want to put her on the $20 bill. And there are people out there complaining. Again, this goes back to the whole pride thing. This goes back to people complaining Boston wins too much. Look, why do you care who the fuck is on the $20 bill? It's still the same fucking currency. It's still going to work. It's still going to be 20. I don't care what face you fucking have on there. To me, here's what the currencies will look like for me. I put Tom Brady on the fucking 100. I put Jay-Z on the fucking 50. I put Biggie on the fucking $20 bill. I put my mother on the $1 bill. These are some people I look up to. But you know what? I can't have it that way. There should be a fucking black person on the fucking currency. There should be a Spanish person on the fucking currency. This is the United States. Everybody should be on a fucking currency. And you know what? Matter of fact, why the fuck do we still have fucking currency? Whether it's Bitcoin or any type of crypto or electronic currency, where are the chips in my fucking wrist? Like all the movies that promised me that I could just go to a bank or go to a restaurant and somebody scans the chip and automatically comes out of my account. We're debating fucking who's on a fucking $20 bill in currency when we get the technology and the advancement that people don't want to fund to actually solve this whole fucking problem. Trees are dying, yet we print fucking currency. Gold is running out, yet we print fucking currency. You know how currency works, right? It's the amount of gold that we have fucking put away at Fort fucking Knox. There's no more fucking gold. We're $300 trillion in fucking debt, and Donald Trump is making this worse. Yeah, the stock market's doing good. Yeah, the economy's doing good. Yeah, there are jobs. But we are in fucking debt. Don't worry about who's on the fucking $20 bill. Think big picture. You fucking dumb fucks that are out there. Not all of you. I'm just talking about, you know, the people that are complaining about Harriet Tubman on the $20 bill. Again, that was a concept. They put a stop to it. Trump and his people put a stop to it. But again, think big picture. Why do we complain about everything? Why do things stress us out? You people complain. I see the complainant. I come here. What do? I complain. It's a vicious fucking circle. It's the circle of life, Simba. The Lion King remake, which I talked about that last time. So I won't go down that road again because it still worked for some people. Something close and near to my cold black heart. MMA, big fan of MMA, gone on this numerous times. You all know where I get the whole intro of Conor McGregor podcast and fucking Conor, fucking McGregor, the Quint, calls everybody fucking Quint. I love MMA, been a lifelong fucking fan. Some guy before Conor McGregor that was out there, he was the bad boy, the bad man, the American gangster, Chael Sonnen. Chael Sonnen is my age, so I get really iffy when I see people close to my age retiring. He is 42 years old. Tom Brady's going to be 42. I'm going to be 42 this August. Chael Sonnen fought Lyoto Machida, who's another legend recently in Bellator, and Chael lost. It was this past Friday night, and after he lost in Madison Square Garden, he didn't plan it. He went right into the fucking interview, set it in there in the cage, in the octagon, on the mic, saying, "This is it. I don't have it anymore. I tried. I am retiring." I like Chael for a couple of reasons. One, again, he's the bad boy. I love when people fucking talk. Before Conor McGregor, he was the first person to talk shit. Before even Tito Ortiz and Ken Shamrock got into it, he had a lot of fights. He talked a lot of shit and backed it up. He was always fun to watch. He was a great light heavyweight. And then he got into podcasting not too long ago. For me, he's right up there. Like, I like listening to Joe Rogan, Michael Rapaport, but he moved over to another luminary, which I can't listen to him anymore because I'm not paying for any podcasts. Sorry, Michael Rapaport. I miss you. And then Chael Sonnen's podcast is one of my favorite podcasts, The Bad Guy. So he's going to continue with the podcast, I'm hoping. I know he's going to have something to say about it on the podcast. But for all you MMA fans, for all you people out there that like the shit talking but back it up, that like the bad guys, I consider myself sometimes being the bad guy, the bad boy. Chael Sonnen is now retiring from MMA. And that's a sad day. At 42 years old, after a long career, I'm going to miss him in the ring, the octagon. Maybe he'll come back for one or two, because you never know. Like Tito Ortiz has said that several times, and he's come back. But I had to get that out there, because Chael is somebody that I've always liked. There are not a lot of people out there that I like or idolize or can be very relatable to. But Chael Sonnen is one of them. And again, I'll give a lot of shout-outs to other podcasts. But listen to Chael's podcast. It's very entertaining. It's not just about MMA. He's a very intelligent guy. He's very articulate. He delivers his message and the way he goes about the podcast really well. He is a good listen. Just letting you know. Last but not least, I kind of got into this on Tuesday's podcast when I was going off on the Boston teams with the Stanley Cup and David Ortiz and the straight pride bullshit. I got into, real quick, the Toronto Raptors. Kawhi Leonard on a one-year kind of buy because he left San Antonio. He had 1 year left in his contract. The Toronto Raptors went all in. They traded for him. They got him, and he came here. His first year with Toronto Raptors. Again, this team went all the way to the finals, and they beat the Golden State Warriors. They stopped them from three-peating. They almost went back-to-back-to-back. It changed the game. It changed the NBA. Here's what happened in the finals. Kevin Durant went down, ruptured Achilles. Klay went down, torn ACL. That's going to change Golden State. It's going to change the face of basketball. And as this recorded, Anthony Davis, the Lakers gave everything, everybody and their fucking mother to get this guy from New Orleans on a one-year deal. Maybe he'll sign with them long-term. So the NBA is changing. The Celtics, Kyrie's leaving. I don't know who we're going to have. But I like the fact, all the other stuff that's happening, how people are going to react to it, that five guys, you know, I'm talking about the starters, including Kawhi, who weren't even a top 14, top 10 picks in the draft. Kawhi won with San Antonio. He stopped LeBron from three-peating back then in Miami. That was his first title. And now, 5 years later, because that was 2014, he stops Steph Curry in Golden State from three-peating, and he wins a title from Toronto. This kid, a guy people call a robot with his weird laugh, who's all about basketball, doesn't talk shit. He's like the anti-LeBron, and I love him for that. I think sports needs that. I think the NBA needs that. I think he's a fresh shot in the ass of the NBA. And I think, again, much as I think Drake is a fucking dork and I listen to his sappy music, he should be not be doing what he's doing with the Raptors. Part of me wanted them to lose because of Drake, but I'm glad they won because they took down a dynasty. Now I know what it feels like when people see the Patriots lose because you're taking down a dynasty. A lot has changed the NBA in the past few days, and I like it. I think Toronto winning with Kawhi is a good thing for basketball. All this other shit people reacted to, it may not be as good, but I'm happy for the people of Toronto. I'm happy for all of fucking Canada. You got yourself an NBA title. The team's been around, what, 15, 20 years now? They're one of the new franchises back when I was a kid. It was good to see that. And I like that they went all in, and they got this kid, and he brought them a title, and he took down a dynasty, a team that had 5-6 All-Stars, and they beat them with only one All-Star with Kawhi, and that was something to see, and I'm glad they fucking did it. So congratulations, Toronto Raptors. You now changed the game of basketball, and I'm hoping The Celtics now could groom the young guys with Tatum and fucking Smart. I hope that Ainge learns from this. Maybe, you know, I'm glad you didn't go after Anthony Davis. Let Kyrie go. Maybe get like a mid-level guy and these young guys groom. I don't know if they could beat these big powerhouse teams, but I hope the rest of the NBA learns to start doing this, where you could build a team around one decent guy. It's doable. It's been proven. So Kawhi, hopefully people, GMs and presidents of teams and owners, they will understand what they just saw, and maybe this will change the next 5 to 10 years of the NBA, because these power teams, these I want to play with my friends, these all-stars that want to play with each other, that want to basically jerk each other off on the fucking court, needs to stop. It needs to stop. Let's get back to competitive, defensive, fucking I'm going to dunk on your ass, even though we're cool offside the court, I'm dunking on you and proving a fucking point. Fuck, I got a technical for fucking stepping over you basketball. Let's get back to that, okay? That's it. That is the show, everyone. Fucking Hans Zimmer's coming in. He's like, stop talking about fucking Toronto. You're a Boston guy. Hey, easy, Hans. Fucking easy, easy. Where to find me? On Instagram. Thought_T_podcast. And T-Blog. Two accounts. Two different things. Check me out. You can DM me on there. Like the pictures. Whatever the fuck you want to know about me. Hit me up. On T-Blog. On Twitter. All in one word. One account. The T-Blog Facebook page. Email me. Do you like the topical stuff? T. Start more topical. Whatever's trending on fucking Twitter. What's going on in the news? I see the messages. I hear you. I'm getting very topical. Did you like what I did today? I just hit you all up with fucking fire. 6 or 7 topics of topical shit. Hope you enjoyed it. I'm listening to you, the listening T-Podcast audience. Fuck. Email me, t@t-blog.com. And where else to find me? Just right here on the podcast, 2 to 3 times a week. Might get one in with B-Lo this week again. And also find me on the place that started it all, tblog.com. 400 volumes, 400 episodes, 9 years of my life, 5 years straight, every Monday. I had a record there. Go read about it. I know a lot of you are. Read about it. Ask me the questions. I'm trying to relate T-Blog to the podcast on top of the topical and what's going on in my life today. That's the show, everyone. Hans Zimmer's blasting in my fucking head. That's it. Until next time, always take it there.